Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital, Professor Shane Higgins, is with me in studio today. How's things, Shane?
Good, thanks, Andrea.
We're talking about labour and how you know when you're in labour. What should you do?
Well, I suppose let's start with the definition. So the definition of labour from our end is strong, painful, regular contractions. And by that, we mean contractions that will stop you in your tracks. You'll be holding onto a piece of furniture. You won't be able to speak to somebody through the contraction. It's that level of intensity. And they need to be coming fairly frequently. And I'll come to that in a moment. And then a cervix that's changing. But the patient themselves doesn't know whether their cervix is changing or not. So really, they can only go by the frequency and intensity of contractions. And what they have to factor into that as to how long they can stay at home will, to some extent, be determined by the length of their journey to the hospital. And you will have some patients who will be travelling an hour and a half, 2 hours, particularly in heavy traffic. So they need to give themselves that bit of wriggle room. But for somebody who's, say, 10 or 15 minutes from the hospital, who's labouring for the first time, they can wait till the pains are every 4 or 5 minutes apart before they make a move to the hospital. Now, that's provided there are no other concerning features. A, they haven't ruptured their membranes and therefore they're not leaking fluid. And if you are, you need to go in immediately. B, if you're concerned about the baby's movements during this period of time, you need to go to the hospital. And C, if you have any vaginal bleeding, you need to go to the hospital. So if all you're getting at home are pains, you can sit it out, see what happens, wait till they get strong, wait till they get frequent, and then make your way into the hospital. And that's where you'll be assessed to see if you're actually in labour or not.
Will you start to get contractions or, you know, kind of that sort of tightening contraction in advance of your water breaking, or is it?
Yeah, so you can. So it can be, and no matter how many babies you have, you can have a different presentation on each occasion. The breaking of your waters doesn't necessarily indicate the immediate onset of labour. You'll have some patients who will rupture their membranes or break their waters. It's the same thing. And then they'll just leak fluid for a period of time until they either establish in labour themselves by way of the contractions, or they'll need to be induced. So if you break your waters at term after 37 weeks and you don't go into labour by yourself, typically you'll be induced within about 24 hours of those waters going if you don't go into labour yourself.
At what stage do you go to the hospital?
For what, the waters going?
Yeah.
Immediately. As soon as your waters go, you should go into the hospital so that they can assess the well-being of the baby. They can establish the colour of the fluids around the baby, because if the baby has moved its bowels in utero, and that's what we call meconium. So if there's meconium staining to the waters, they're greeny tinged, then we wouldn't wait. We would get you on in labour. We would induce labour if that was the case.
On average, how long does labour last?
For first-time mums, it can last up to 10, 12 hours. For second-time mums or subsequent after your first baby, after your first labour, it can go very quickly, which is why patients who are at home, if they've had a baby already, then they need to be very careful about things accelerating really quickly and they're missing the opportunity to get to the hospital. And that still happens, albeit infrequently, but you will have cases of patients delivering at home, and particularly when they don't decide or plan to deliver at home or deliver in a car or at the side of the road or in the entrance to the hospital. So if you've laboured successfully before, then you need to just be cautious and speak to your healthcare provider about how long you should stay at home.
Is your first, so the first is always the longest?
The first is always the most,
is it
typically
the most
difficult. Absolutely, by far. Yeah. To the extent that at our hospital, we use different coloured sheets of paper or partograms to distinguish one patient from another. So if somebody's laboured before, they're on a yellow partogram. If somebody's laboured previously successfully, they're on a blue partogram. And we do that deliberately because they behave like two different species of woman. One, it tends to be slow, predictable progress. But for the patient who's laboured successfully before, it can go from 0 to 100 in an hour.
087-1400-106 is the number for your questions. Listener Shane is wondering, they're asking you today, sorry, I had a very quick labour for my first child and we just made it in time to the hospital. I'm worried though, the same is going to happen again. So what advice do you have if I had a very quick delivery first time round?
Okay, so there's two ways to approach this. One is to say, I would like to go into labour spontaneously. I would like to wait at home and wait till my due date or beyond to go into labour. But once that labour starts, once you get any sense at all that the contractions are coming and they're strong, no matter how infrequent they might be, you need to make your way into the hospital so that you have ample time together. The second way to approach it is to say, okay, I don't want to take the risk of delivering at home. So speak again to your midwife or doctor and say, I would like to consider induction around about my due date so that we're all in control of the situation and I don't run the risk of delivering at home.
Please ask Shane, if you really don't want to be induced, but the doctors and nurses are pushing it, how long should I hold out before being induced?
Okay, that's a great question. So until recently in our hospital, you would have been encouraged to go up to 2 weeks past your due date. But there's a guideline has been issued now by the Institute of Obstetricians in Ireland, which is now recommending that we offer, and I'm choosing the words carefully because I'm actually stating exactly what it says in the guideline. It is recommended that we offer induction to patients at a week past their due date. I say to my patients, if you do not want to be induced at a week past, we can let it go a little bit further. You might need a little additional monitoring just to make sure the fluid around the baby is adequate and you're getting plenty of movement. But if you want to wait, you can. And particularly for those patients who desperately want to go into labour by themselves, you still have the opportunity to go 10, 12, perhaps even 14 days past your expected due date.
Okay. So, and should people, like, will they be aware of that in meetings, prior meetings with their consultant?
About the new...
Yeah, well, about the guidelines or what's recommended.
Well, they can go onto the Institute website. They can identify and find the guideline online. But speak to you again, your midwife, your doctor, about this new guideline. It's been written in 2023, but probably didn't come into effect until late 24, early 25. But it's now the gold standard in Ireland. But as I say, it's a guideline. It's not a hard and fast rule. If you want to go past your due date, there are a lot of patients, again, induced long before a week past their due date for very good reasons. But if you're a healthy woman, if the pregnancy is uncomplicated and going very well and you want to wait that little bit longer, absolutely you can.
Final quick question from this listener who's a man. What do I do during labour?
It's a very difficult role, actually, to be the man in the labouring room. I've been there myself and you know, a little knowledge being a dangerous thing and all that. But your role essentially is to advocate and support. So if your wife or partner doesn't feel that they're being listened to or heard, it is your responsibility to step in and advocate on their behalf. But primarily and hopefully in a very positive environment, your role is to support your partner.
And how successful is VBAC, vaginal birth? What are the risks?
Well, the big risk for a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after a cesarean section, is the risk of uterine rupture. Now, it's a very small risk. And in modern obstetric practice, every opportunity is taken to minimize that risk further. So you don't typically get induced if you've had a previous cesarean section. So you either labor spontaneously or you end up with a cesarean section. But the risk is that of your uterus rupturing in labor. And the risk of that is about 1 in 220 to 1 in 250. But if you reduce that risk further by saying, we're not going to induce you, we're not going to use oxytocin, then it's a relatively safe option for patients. The success rate, if you do get yourself into labor, the success rate is about, all taking all comers, about 60%. So you have a 60% chance of a successful vaginal birth and a 40% chance of a cesarean section.
Shane Higgins will be back with us next Wednesday for Making Babies, but all of our conversations, discussions, they're all up in the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to lunchtime.live/Making Babies. You can hear more from Professor Shane Higgins, who's a consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million.
Thank you.
For joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.